This podcast contains strong language and adult themes, so if that's not your cup of tea, go and find something else. But if it is, then we're happy to have you. So welcome. Da 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 da. Sting it at da 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 da. Sting it at da. I'm Holly, I'm single and I live in Manchester.
And I'm Jess, I'm a married mum of two and live in Devon.
Despite our differences, we are still the best of friends and we have been since the day we were born.
So welcome to our podcast, Two Kids and a Best Friend, where we discuss everything from night feeds to nights out, pop culture, embarrassing stories and confessions.
We've just been plagued by technical gremlins for the last week and a bit because we obviously didn't put our last episode out, so we are very sorry for that.
Sorry to our fans.
I was just too busy to edit and it takes me like 5 hours an episode. And I had lots actually going on in my, you know, social life. God sue me.
How dare you?
And then I basically then went sat down to do it later in the week to put the episode out late. And my computer deleted my audio file, so it's been going great so far.
And then we just started re-recording and 10 minutes in, Holly's gone, oh wait, my audio's not recording.
It was, and then it just checked out basically, fair enough.
Yeah, brilliant.
So, this episode, we are going to make an amalgamation of some of the funniest stories that didn't obviously get to see the light of day last week. And we're also going to add some stuff that's happened to us this week in the mix. So, do you want to go first then, Jess?
Yes, I will. So, I've got a funny story that I know you'll like. So, basically, it was my dad's birthday last week and it's his 60th. We had arranged a surprise for him to go to the races in Newton Abbot. So he was going to go up with my uncle, just thinking it was them two. And then when he got there, it was going to be all of his family and friends there in a box as a surprise, just to like do something for him. He's a very selfless person. He does everything for everyone else. So we wanted to do something for him. And then obviously the day before we're meant to go, it gets cancelled. So they said it was waterlogged, so they couldn't do it, but everyone's kind of called bullshit on that because there was a train strike, so they probably cancelled because they thought that a lot of people wouldn't go because of the train strikes. So we frantically tried to think of something to do in Plymouth, so we rented a boat. It was a huge boat and it was only like 20 of us or 30 of us, and it was this huge 200 person boat just to go around Plymouth Sound. So my dad is just thick, so he didn't realize that the races had been cancelled, like he didn't check or anything. So he got up in the morning and went with my uncle, and my uncle told him that they were going to the races. So we all went on to the Barbican by the steps and we were all stood there waiting, like all of his family. So as we're stood there waiting, right, my uncle, so he's my uncle but like my half uncle, Derek. Now I don't have a problem that Derek is ever going to listen to this podcast, so I can say this story. There's a bit of beef with Derek in the family, basically Derek wasn't invited because he's not like, obviously my dad's got his siblings and then Derek's a half, because my nan and granddad were very controversial back in the, you know, 1950s 1960s. They actually had an affair together, and you know, which back in the day was really frowned upon. So my dad and my granddad had a kid in a previous marriage, which was Derek. So everyone was there waiting at 10 o'clock, 10:30 on a Wednesday morning. Around the corner walks Derek and his wife. Well, we're all stood there as a family waiting for my dad to turn up. So my auntie, who like is a proper worrier, like shits herself, and she was like, oh hi, like blah blah blah, and he was like, what are you all doing here? I thought I recognized you all. And Rach was like, oh, hi, Derek. Like, oh, it's Kevin's birthday, so we're all just going on a boat. And she was mortified because she was like, how embarrassing does that look that the whole family, all the grandkids, all the siblings are stood there for my dad? So anyway, he stood there chatting to some of my aunties and whatever. And then my dad turns up, doesn't he? So he doesn't have a clue that we're all going to be there. So my dad gets out the car and he's like, oh, hello, hello, blah, blah, blah. Comes and says hello to everyone. He doesn't know that Derek wasn't invited. For all he knows, like, Derek's been invited. So he goes up to Derek, like, hugs him or whatever, and goes, oh, thanks so much for coming. Like that. Honestly, we were dying. So Derek's then been like said that my dad said that to him. He wasn't even invited. It was so embarrassing. And then my dad was like, after we told him, he was like, for fuck's sake, I went up to him and said thanks for like coming and making the effort, blah blah blah. No, he was just on a leisurely stroll on the hoe with his wife and he's seen all his family who didn't invite him on a boat trip. So it was just one of those moments you could not write. Like, how did he bump into his whole family on a Wednesday morning at 10:30? Like, out of all of the times, all of the places, all of the days, it's just, you could not write it. We were all pissing ourselves. And then we were winding up my auntie all day, who was like so mortified about it. She was like, oh, I don't know how we're ever going to get past this. He's going to think we all hate him, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it was just hilarious. Okay, so house update. So a lot has happened this week. So we got an offer in on our house.
Amazing.
Which I'm so happy about. And it was $5,000 over asking, which I never thought we were going to get. So I'm like really happy. So we've took ours off the market. They've gone on and they have 7 viewings today. So I'm pretty confident, touch wood, touch wood, touch wood, that they're going to sell. And if they don't sell, I'm going to be depressed. So next week's episode might not be a good one. It's either going to be really good or really bad, depending on the outcome.
Fingers crossed. Very exciting time for you, which is a huge contrast to my life right now because...
Tell us a bit about your current life, Holly.
So... last week I was speaking about how it feels to be a single woman in your 20s, not knowing who's genuine, if what people are saying are true and come from an honest place, or if people tell you what they want to hear. I was having a very insecure week where I just didn't feel that great in myself, which is just that whole feeling of when you feel totally lost when you're in your 20s. And it can be hard when you see, you know, other people who really have their lives together, like you, you know. And I'm so incredibly happy for you, but like my life, I know we've made this whole podcast about our lives being different, but sometimes it is really hard because you just feel like you're not really getting anywhere. And I suffer quite a lot with imposter syndrome, like even though I've worked very hard to get where I've got to in my career and I love my job, you know, I have some days where I think, how have I got this job? I'm not good at it. And you just doubt everything you do.
I feel like imposter syndrome is such a thing, especially for women. It's exactly the same in my work. Like, everyone talks about it, especially for women. Like, you feel like, how on earth have you got to the position you're in and you don't know what you're doing? When actually you do, but you doubt yourself.
Exactly. And I've had a bit of a... the last couple of weeks have been like that for me. It's... been quite a roller coaster of emotions, and I find it hard because I'm very conscious of the fact that I am 27. I am not in a relationship. I'll be 28 this year, and I just don't really know what I'm doing, and I rarely put myself out there anymore to date people because I find it so hard to open up my heart to somebody. Yeah, I guess I'm just finding it all really difficult, and I'm in a position now where I just think, honestly, I'd rather just protect my peace and be by myself and not let myself get to know anyone or let them get to know me, because I'm just like, I just can't see myself letting anyone
honestly,
in.
Honestly, Holly, I could not imagine, like, having to be single. Like, me and Ollie say it all the time. Like, do you imagine trying to tackle a dating scene now and dealing with all twatty people and having to try and, like it's all game playing, isn't it? And, like, oh, I would hate it. I do not envy you at all, because trying to navigate that, especially when you are genuinely someone who just wants to be loved and wants to be in a relationship and wants to be happy and wants to settle down, and that's even harder because that can put people off sometimes, because you go on dating apps and loads of lads will be like, oh, you just want to shag or just want to fling, don't they? No, not that many people are out there looking for something serious, are they? Especially on
dating
apps.
I'm always really upfront about what I want, because I'm very selective about you know, who I spend my time with, and I just sort of feel like I don't want to waste your time, I don't want to waste my time. I see my time as precious, and I think it's really, it's not a bad thing to ask, you know, what someone's intentions are. So, like, from my perspective, you know, asking someone if they want kids is an important question, because if they're one of those people that are dead set no, then I'm not going to bother going on a second date with you, because
that's
a huge life goal of mine, and I want to have a family.
I know people, Holly, that have got married, and then after they had got married, one of them said they didn't want kids, and then they've divorced. And it's like, how do you not have that conversation before marriage?
No, I find that crazy. Insane. And I'm very, like, conscious of the fact that, like, I am at that age where it needs to be somewhere on my radar. So I guess, and I also just feel like I can't keep going through that cycle of meeting someone, getting to know them, and then it just fizzling out. And by no means am I, you know, have I dated lots of people, because I haven't. I think I've just had a couple of confusing situations, and it's affected my kind of confidence. And
well, it would do. I would really struggle dealing with rejection. It's hard, isn't it?
You can't help but blame yourself and feel like you've done something wrong, even if it is.
Is there something wrong with me?
Why don't they want me? Because if they did really like me, they wouldn't have, you know, done that or whatever.
Yeah,
100%. But ultimately, a lot of the time, it's just a lot of people. It's not a reflection on you. It's a lot of the time, some people just aren't ready to commit to somebody or to have a relationship, and sometimes it takes them a little too long to realize that. But of course, that just makes you just think, I am not leaving the house again. I can't be asked.
Oh, I completely get it. It's hard, isn't it? And it's really hard as well to meet people naturally, I think. Like, you rarely nowadays hear that people meet just, like, authentically, isn't it? It's usually on apps and stuff, because so rare to, who really, like, nowadays, like, in films you watch, they're in a library and they meet someone, you know, that's not gonna happen.
No.
And most people, when you're on a night out, people aren't looking for, like, relationships and stuff on a night out.
No, exactly. And I just obviously we spoke about this last week, but I wanted to bring it up again just for the simple fact that if there are anyone out there listening to this, you might be like, follow me on Instagram or whatever, you may really think that I'm a really confident person. I am quite an insecure person, and I think it is totally normal to feel like that in your 20s. You're still figuring life out, you're still figuring out what works best for you and what direction you want to go in. So I just think it's important to speak about that. And, you know, we're at an age where your friends are married, do have children, have got the, you know, and then you might be the friend that hasn't got those things, and therefore you feel like you're missing out. But I feel like my journey is my journey, and what will be, and it you know, I guess really you shouldn't put pressure on yourself, but it's understandable if you do, because obviously that's just what happens. And I wouldn't want to rush into a relationship with someone that was wrong for me. But I guess really what I want is someone to actually choose me and choose to make me a priority, and unfortunately that never seems to be the case.
I'm the worst person for you to talk to about advice, aren't I? Because I'm like so blunt to you. I'm like that friend that's like, fucking ditch them, ghost them, do that, blah blah blah. It's hard for me because I've never gone through it, but I genuinely think that, like, as a woman, you deserve to be worshipped and chased. So if you're chasing someone and they're not reciprocating it back to you, fucking get rid of them. Like, I just believe that everyone deserves to be treated like a princess and worshipped and everything. So if you're not getting that, it's not worth your time, and that's why it's really hard.
And I've got
it?
A lot of love to give, and I'm a very sensitive soul. As much as I have a lot of bravado and ego and confidence, and I can be quite bolshy and have an attitude sometimes, really it is all just a front, and I am such a soft touch, and I've got so much love to give for the people in my life, and when, you know, and I'd do anything for them. And it's really hard when, you know, you realise that a lot of people aren't like that. You can be honest with how you are and show that you're sensitive, and they still ultimately don't care and, you know, bin you off anyway.
I've got a really funny story tell you. And this is allowed. So my in-laws, so my brother-in-law and his girlfriend, I saw them last week. They told me the funniest story, and I was like, can I use this on the podcast? And they were like, Holly was like, yeah, go on then, do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to name you, I'm going to do this. They were like, oh yeah, whatever. Ollie's brother and his girlfriend, they've been together for about a year now. They've got engaged. They're like really in love. They've got engaged. They've got their first house.
It's all happened quite quick for them, hasn't it?
Oh, and that's the thing. I feel like when you really like someone, you don't have to, like, the stigma of, oh, you're moving too fast, you're moving this. But if you really like someone, why would you want to wait? Like, why wait? Me and Ollie, God, he literally moved into my mum's house after we had been together like a month. Like, it was just because why do you need to take it slow?
It's just about what's really right like for
each other
you,
and
want to
see each other. Yeah. So they've obviously moved really fast. So they're in their house already. After I think they got it just after a year of being together. So anyway, they got their sofa and they were like, oh, we decided we were going to try and have sex on the sofa for the first time because, you know, we always do it upstairs or whatever.
Was so that
anyway,
after listening to our podcast? you talked about having sex on the sofa.
Yeah, probably. So apparently he was laid on the sofa and she was sucking him off, right? And she was like going for it. And then apparently he got so relaxed that he farted really loud, right? It wasn't like a... apparently it was like a... like that, right? She carried on, and then she said she just got a waft of it. Like, she was like, I was holding my nose and then I had to stop. And I was like, what did you do after? Did you get put off? What happened? And she said, oh, I had to stop, let it go away, and then we carried on. And I was like, nah, that would have killed the mood
for me.
The
fact that she was carrying on,
what would you do?
Nose, I would, Jesus Christ, I'd jump up straight away and be like,
That is love, isn't it? That is love.
Oh, I've just seen Molly come in the room, you little pup.
She's
so cute.
She's like my little bestie. She follows me everywhere. Yeah.
She's adorable.
Yeah, so anyway. Do you want to come on my lap, darling? Do you want to come here? Oh, a little tail's wagging. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it's different when stuff like that happens when you're in a relationship, isn't it? She is committed. I will give her that, because I would have told Ollie to fucking put his pants back on and the moment's gone.
So, it feels like it's a bit sort of old news now. The fact that Justin and Hailey Bieber are having a baby.
That should be me.
Holding your hand.
That should be me.
Making you laugh. Oh, don't. All I can say is, because for me it was all about Harry Styles and Justin Bieber growing up, I just felt this immense grief. I just felt so sad.
Because I feel like marriage, you can get divorced, but kids, you're tied
Absolutely.
For life.
Yeah.
That is like a big thing, isn't it? Kids like changes everything.
I just felt so sad. I was like, right, well, that's it. It's the end of an era now.
That's your chance over. You still got Harry.
I know, that's the thing. It's all counting on Harry Styles now. Do you know what? Actually, that's what I need. I need Harry Styles to come along and sweep me off my feet. I can forget about the rest of them then, won't I?
Oh my God, Holly. It would just be amazing.
If only Harry could see me now, sat here recording this in my dressing gown, wet hair. We've not shared any embarrassing stories about our childhoods lately, and this week we really wanted to talk about our time in theatre group when we were kids.
Oh my god, so as most children, me and Holly wanted to be famous actors, yes. Didn't we? I don't think we were ever going to make it as theatre kids, because I feel like every theatre kid has to be able to act, dance,
triple
and
threat.
Sing.
I could do all three.
We could not do all three. We couldn't even do one.
I can sing.
Oh, yeah. I actually remember you used to sing when we were younger, didn't you? And you didn't have a half bad voice. Okay, so well, Holly thinks she can sing. Holly thinks she can dance.
I can.
And she cannot. You cannot dance. So when we went to theatre group, right, there was this one. I remember we did Hello Dolly. And you were like on the side. And I remember my dad saying,
you mentioned
saying,
this in a previous episode,
me.
Actually. Yeah.
Did I? Holly's got two fucking left feet.
I was about 8. And I can say that I can dance now. Because into my teenage years, I was part of a dance group. And I was good at that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So speak about yourself, love, all right? You're talking to a triple threat here.
Holly also thinks she can act, but I have a photo of which I will post on the Instagram page of me and Holly when we were trees in one of the one of the things. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Cinderella. And we were trees.
So we were basically part of this theatre group. We won't name them because we don't want to get sued, because we're going to basically slag them off. And I mean, if they can try sue me if they want, I got nothing to give them. But anyway, we used to love it, didn't we? We used to absolutely love it.
It was so good. We would go like on, was it like a Saturday, yep, or something? And we'd practice dances and scenes. And
we were in
loads
of shows, weren't we? And it was like a full-on production when we did it. Like they booked,
yeah,
out like the theatre.
It was in like the local theatre, yeah. Yeah. So when we did the
proper
shows,
proper audience,
proper
sound, proper lights, proper everything. So anyway, It did feel like a big deal.
We thought we were famous.
We did. And I remember at the end of every play, my parents would make me like sign the programme.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I was a chuffing,
yeah,
tree. But like, it used to really stress me out because I love performing, but they had their favourites, didn't they? We both really wanted a part.
Of course they did. The same people would get the main parts every time, and then people like us, the shitty background characters, would just get like villagers and dancers.
Like the amount of times I was told I was too tall for a role. I don't understand how you can be too tall.
So we got told the next show, it was always excitement, wasn't it,
yeah,
when they tell us what the next show would be. The next show was going to be Beauty and the Beast. So they gave out all the scripts, and basically some of the parents moaned that the same people always
definitely
get the parts.
My mum.
So they held an definitely your mum. So they held an audition day, didn't they? So they gave us all scripts and we could come to this day, which our poor mums had to take us to. I think it was just your mum actually took us to, and had to wait for like 8 hours for us to audition for these parts. And we decided on the parts. So after reading the script, Holly really wanted to be the narrator, and I really wanted to be Chip the teacup. Oh, this still gives me shivers when I think back to it, because it's like it's PTSD,
trauma,
isn't it? Oh, the trauma from this, Beauty and the Beast. So anyway, you auditioned. We practiced like shit, didn't we? Like, we wanted these parts so much that my poor dad, like every night before bed, would run through the script with me, bless him. And I memorized the script to be Chip. So when we all went down and had a part to read, everyone was holding up the script and I was stood there because I memorized my lines. Still didn't get the fucking part. I obviously wasn't good enough, but I remember thinking I was so cool because I was stood there and I wasn't holding the script like everyone else. And I was sure I had smashed it and I was getting that part. But no. The one who shall not be named got the part, didn't she?
Your nemesis.
My nemesis, and your nemesis by association,
yeah,
wasn't it? You were just like,
I hated her,
you
hated her.
And she got all of the parts that I wanted. She was the favourite, to the point where she edited two lines once on a part, and they named her on the programme as a writer.
In the script, yeah.
And she was 8.
I know.
Oh, I still hate her to this day.
You don't hold a grudge, do you, Jess?
If I saw her out now, she'd be getting daggers.
Oh, you really tell her, wouldn't you?
So I didn't get my part, but Holly auditioned for the narrator.
And I mean, I've always been really good at memorizing words. And obviously, I think that another reason why I went on to, you know, be a reporter, because when I used to do like piece to cameras and stuff, I'd just be able to like reel off all this stuff that I'd memorized and whatever. So really, they missed out on a trick, because now I'm basically a narrator for a living. So
they missed out, Holly. We would have been the best narrator in Chip ever.
I did the audition. There were a couple bits I stumbled on, but I mean, the monologue was massive.
Yeah, it was long, yeah.
And didn't get it. So again, parents complained that the same people got the roles. Oh well, don't worry, because we're gonna give
what was their feedback to you, why you did not get the role of narrator?
How can you be too tall to be the narrator?
I cannot believe that they told you were too tall to be the narrator, and then ironically the person who got the part of narrator was fucking taller than you.
Oh, I know. But what's awful is I remember my mum and your mum used to be in the dressing rooms with us on performance nights. And then on one of the days they'd swap with like our nans so that they could be in the audience and watch it. And I remember my mum saying to me, "Don't worry, darling, we could barely hear her. She was as quiet as a mouse. If that was you, we'd have heard you right at the back."
Do you know what? I actually remember her being like, I remember her being really quiet and shit, and we were like, why did they give her the part? But didn't it turn out that she was a family member?
Oh, yeah, Nepo baby. I know. But anyway, so the bosses of the theatre group were like, right, so everyone's going to get a line in the play, basically, so no one can complain.
We were villagers, weren't we? Villager one, villager two.
As per usual.
No, I don't even think that. I think one of us was villager one and one of us was villager eight or something like that. We didn't get one and two. We weren't that special.
They gave us all a line in this play, so we were all going to have something to say. Mine was the opening line of the show, "Good morning, Belle." And I was like, thought that was the biggest deal ever. You're opening the show, big deal that. Not like it's literally two words. And my dad got married abroad, and we were away for 2 weeks. And so I had to miss 2 weeks of rehearsal. And I remember saying to the leader of the theatre group, "Look, I'm going to be away for these 2 weeks." Or they hated it when you had time off, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. God. You were basically cut.
Came back. She was like, "Yeah, don't worry. I mean, we'll keep that in mind that you're, you know, I mean, it's the opening line of the show. Just start on the second line, eh? You know, or, I don't know." Anyway, I came back.
You came back, and who got the line?
You. They gave it to my best friend. How cruel! And gave your line to someone else.
And I took it. I took it.
So I was the.
I didn't say no. That's Holly's line. I went, I'll take the opening line.
So I ended up being the only person in the entire play that didn't have a line.
You didn't have a line. Do you know what? My dad says he still hears in his sleep, "Good morning, Belle." Because I used to walk around the house just practicing my one line. "Good morning, Belle."
Honestly. And I think this is probably, again, why I've got issues to do with rejection. I remember being at rehearsals, finding out I didn't have the line and being really upset. And obviously I had also auditioned for the narrator role and didn't get that. So finding out they didn't get "Good morning, Belle" just felt like the end of the world. And then I started crying at rehearsal. I mean, I was 8 years old, and
they were cruel to kids. They were really cruel.
The way
eight.
They talked to
we
us,
were
she
eight.
Gave me a freaking complex about my height for such a long time, because I did have my growth spurt early, but she did give me a complex.
No wonder you're so insecure now.
So she said to me, "Right, well, we're actually going to give you a really big responsibility. Basically your role, the opening scene is a really long scene. So what we want you to do is we want you to be the one that listens out for cues, to lead the rest of the villagers on stage and lead the rest of them off stage. Okay, so you need to listen out to these things and then you be like the leader that walks everyone off. Okay, I remember on one of the shows, I remember, you know, because you've got to get all in your costumes, you've got all these layers on and all that. I remember being stood on the stage and just being like, oh my God, I really need a wee. And just holding it, holding it, holding it, holding it, holding it. I'm pretty sure I said to my mum as well, as I was about to go on stage, I need a wee. And she was like, you can't, you've got like all your tights on, your thing, everything on, like you won't have time.
You've got to go.
Just going to have to hold it. Stood there on the stage and I'm right, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. You know, it becomes all you can think about. Next thing I know, I just feel it trickling down my legs and then it was like a waterfall. And on stage. So I then panic and run off. And then with that, obviously, you run off with me. Because I was supposed to be leading people off stage and you were waiting for that moment. So we both ran off.
So you ran off. We all ran off, didn't we? And I remember being so angry at you. So I just remember chasing you. I was like, Holly, where are you going? Where are you going? You ran all the way back to the changing rooms and like ran into your mum and started crying. And she was like, what's happened? What's happened? And I was there. And then you just went, I weed on the stage. And the funniest thing is, my nan and granddad were there that day when it happened. They were in the crowd and they said they saw like panic on your face and then they saw us all running off and then they said the next thing, a woman just comes on the stage with a mop.
A mopping bucket. Serves them right for not giving me the part of the narrator, basically.
And I remember being so angry at you for so long because you fucked up like the play.
But the joke of it is as well, obviously, and bless all of our families, because I came out like, did anyone see anything? No, we didn't see a thing. No.
So Holly didn't have it all in you, did you? The theatre life. So anyway, I need to go back.
Not like
to the
I
story.
Literally got put in for gifted and talented acting at my secondary school and got my GCSE in like year 8. But yeah,
do you see how defensive? Do you see how defensive she gets?
Because
about
Jess,
this?
I've had a shit week. Well, I could really do with being gassed up here a bit, all right? Instead of being put down.
Well, let's talk about the tree. Let's talk about the tree situation. So me, I was brilliant. I had that tree. I held
the
so
best
we
tree.
Had. We had to hold up like this tree over our face. So I'm stood there, feet together, stiff as a brick, holding up this tree against my face. And this tree did not move from my face. I've got a photo of me and Holly stood next to each other. Me stood there with the tree above my face. Holly's tree down by her side, legs open, turned around, looking at the actors doing their scene. And I actually have a photo of it, Holly,
right,
which I'm going
to find
post.
It, because I don't even think I've seen this one. I wonder what they're doing now. I wonder what your arch nemesis is doing now. See what she's done with her life.
I'm going to Facebook her in a bit. She's going to be like a famous actress, isn't she?
She's going to be on like IMDb and all that. Won a BAFTA. And she says it was all down to her rolling chip that just really, roller's chip, it just really set things off for her.
I'll forever, ever be bitter about this. So that's it for episode 11. Thank you so much to everyone who bared with us with our missing episode last week.
Yeah, we really appreciate you. And if you enjoyed listening to this, then please rate us 5-star wherever you're listening to your podcast and follow us on our social media.
Don't forget to tell your mates and send us your confessions. We will always keep you anonymous and we love to hear your stories. So if you want to email us at 2kidsandabestfriend@gmail.com
and we will see you next week. Bye.